Recent incidents of street violence in Waikiki have turned public attention toward its population of street kids, homeless runaways who have had to fend for themselves in an environment that carries more than its share of dangers. Kent Anderson, Chief High-Risk Services Officer of YO, Youth Outreach, works with this troubled population every day and says these kids are far more likely to be victims of crimes than they are to commit them.
There's a lot of misperceptions and myths about the young people we work with, but probably one of the most common is that it's a bunch of bad kids who are on the streets, that it's kids looking for trouble. In reality, who we serve, there's kids on the streets, but they're looking for survival. And they've had a rough life. Most of our kids have been the victims of either physical, sexual, or emotional abuse in the home. And they escape a damaging environment. And they often have no healthy place to turn, so they turn to the streets. And because of that, their life becomes far more complicated.
How do they come to your into your world?
Waikiki Health and Halekipa, we jointly run a program called Youth Outreach. And we've been running this program since 1989 in Waikiki. And we serve over 700 youth, homeless and at-risk youth per year. And the way they get to us is through many ways, but mostly it's through word of mouth. On the streets, YO's been around for so many decades that the kids know that it's there and it's a resource for them. And what's funny is there are some youth who are more troublemakers that the kids don't tell about YO because they want to keep it a safe place, they want to keep it a respite, and they want to keep it a healthy environment. So most of the youth know it. I mean, we've talked to a lot of high schools and such. They know, many of them know the resource, especially the kids, not always the counselors, but we're trying to increase that awareness. But the challenge we face is we also have to keep our services confidential because our youth are at such a high risk of exploitation and they're at such a high risk of harm that we need to keep them protected. So, for example, we will not publicize the physical location of where we do our services because we don't want to put our youth at risk. Similar to what a domestic violence shelter would do is that they don't want people to know where they're at, except for those who need the services.
What kind of exploitation? What kind of harm?
Well, there's a lot of things. There's definitely a major issue with sex trafficking. I've seen some stats that show the average youth on the streets is pursued for sex trafficking within 48 hours. It's shocking just how quickly and how efficient it can be that when somebody's new to the streets,
you get spotted.
That they get spotted and they get targeted. So there's a huge issue. And when we say sex trafficking, that's obviously could be sex trafficking for money on the streets, but also there's a lot of survival sex. There's a lot of type of predatory practices that happens. And it's not just, some people think it's just the females. No, it's the males and the females who are both getting targeted and getting pursued for these types of things.
Survival sex, what's that?
Survival sex is basically trading sex for money or for food.
Shelter.
Or for shelter or for whatever you need. So it's not necessarily prostitution as the way we think of it, but a lot of times there's kids who, and this isn't just on the streets, this is throughout society, and it's not just youth, but youth are extra targeted, that there's a lot of people who will take advantage of people in need and looking for basic resources, and sex is one form of capital that's been used regularly.
When you say that kids will get approached within 48 hours, what does the approach consist of?
It can mean a lot of things. I haven't personally witnessed one directly, in all sincerity. Fortunately, we have a staff who's out on the streets, and they are, to be blunt, a bit more educated on the day-to-day realities that I'm dealt with, but from what I've seen and what I've shared with my team and what they've shared with me, better said, is that there'll be a youth on the street. They'll, whether it be drugs, whether it be food, whether, I mean, just very direct a lot of times. A lot of times it's youth approaching other youth because there are ways that if some youth who are already being exploited help recruit others, they actually can get special treatment and special favors and things like that. There's a lot of different ways, but a lot of times it's just there's a youth who's on the streets who is scared and they're hungry and they're tired and they don't have a place, and somebody comes out to them showing that they can take care of in a very kind way a lot of times first. It's not
a pimp.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that they see this person as a way out of their current trouble. And when you're looking for daily survival, sometimes you make choices to survive that day.
Mm-hmm.
And the worse it gets, the more desperate you come a lot of time.
It makes it sound, that whole thing of the approach within 48 hours makes it sound as if there's a pretty well-organized infrastructure to this whole human trafficking thing.
Absolutely.
Somebody's going to spot you, and a pimp is going to approach you and have, you know, have his rap ready for you. This is what I'm offering. This is what I can do for you. And here's another kid who says it's okay. You know, the kid your age, right?
Absolutely. It's a very, very troubling problem, and it's a problem where our youth, they're being victimized. Yet a lot of times we have situations where people want to target them as the troublemaker. I'll never take away individual choice, but people also make decisions when they're in stress, when they're in trauma, and when they're in need. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people do what they have to do to survive.
You see a lot of that on the street, and I'm wondering on any given night in Waikiki how many kids are out there.
Now, there's a lot of kids who hang out on the streets in Waikiki just for fun, for socialization. That's where a lot of action is. That's where a lot of activity
sure.
are. But if you're talking about the ones who are actually homeless or the ones who are the street youth,
yeah,
shall
kids
we say?
Who are out on the street without knowing where they're going to sleep at.
Yeah, so it varies, but it's spread a lot. It's not just Waikiki. I mean, it used to be historically more in Waikiki, but through the Compassionate Disruption Campaign, there was a lot of shifting. So there's some still in Waikiki. A lot of it's moved to Kakaako. A lot of it's moved under the bridges on near the airport. It's actually spread throughout the whole state. But Waikiki still is a magnet. There's no doubt about that. And I can say on an average day we have a drop-in center where the kids can get things like a shower, food, laundry, basic needs services. We see on an average day at the drop-in center 20 to 60 on an average day. I can say we serve over 700 per year. And not everyone accesses the drop-in center. So there's a lot of folks who are just on the streets at night without accessing those types of day resources.
Has Compassionate Disruption made your job easier or tougher?
It's actually made for Yo our job a lot tougher, because one of the benefits when youth were congregating in specific locations is that you could organize resources and organize approaches to reach the youth. We know with certainty that a lot of our youth actually returned to some unhealthy practices such as survival sex. Some returned to a pimp. Some returned to unhealthy situations as they were trying to flee when they were told they have to move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into the political arguments there's obviously pluses and minuses to this type of approach, but I can say specifically for outreaching and connecting these kids to services and helping them make healthier choices, we have seen a lot of struggles and challenges, especially because the youth were moved, but they weren't really moved into healthier environments. They were just told to leave as
moved.
Opposed to put into healthy shelters mm-hmm. or healthy types of resources.
Well, Kent, if you had your druthers, what would you like to see changed?
Oh, there's a lot of things I like to see changed, but I would say if I had my druthers, I like to look at systemic approaches. The biggest thing is we really need to provide better love and support to all of our kids, and that comes down to the family level and the community level. I mean, we like to look at institutions, but the first institution is the family.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of kids, as I mentioned earlier, who they're just dealt a bad hand. They're dealing with fear. They're dealing with violence. They're dealing with abuse, and that's just not right. No kid deserves to be in that environment. So my first step, my druthers, as mm-hmm. you would say, is we need to really do better as a community, and that comes at the nuclear family, but that comes at the extended family. That can permeate through the school systems, that can permeate through the business community, that can permeate through government. We're not seeing a improvement on the number of kids on the streets or the number of kids who are dealing with crisis and trauma. So systemically, we need to come together as a community. I know that's a big ask, but I don't think one program here or there is going to solve the issues we're dealing with alone. It has to be a community response. And for the, that's for the younger kids especially. And then as the kids get older, we're dealing with a lot of kids who drop out of school. We're dealing with a lot of kids who now they're adults and they're still on the streets. We really need to do a better job of finding what I'll call mentorship opportunities, what I would call internships, things like that, with to help our youth really establish skills that they can actually sustainably live on. I mean, I love the restaurant jobs. I love those types of service jobs. They're fantastic. But most of them don't pay enough to actually have a place and to live if you're doing that for 40 hours per week. And a lot of our youth are working. People don't know that. We have a lot of youth who are working, and a lot of our youth are trying to pursue their school aspirations. But it's hard to do that when you're not sleeping at night because you're afraid to get beat up. So we need more supports for the kids, for all kids, but especially those who are in a bad situation. I'm thankful for things like the foster care system, and I'm thankful for Child Protective Services, but we just collectively need to work together to do better in all fronts.
Kent Anderson is the Chief High-Risk Services Officer of YO Youth Outreach, which describes itself as a safe haven for homeless youths, offering medical care, social services, and support.